Welcome to each and every one of you amazing individuals who are traveling down the road to recovery. This is the September 2018 Parkinson's Recovery Support Group Gathering. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to first provide a brief overview of activities and events that I have sponsored here through Parkinson's Recovery this past month. I have one question that's been submitted. I want to read that and have some discussion in response to that question. Then, of course, as is our custom, I want to connect in with each of you who've called in and be sure to address all the topics that you'd like for us to discuss or all the questions you'd like for us to be able to answer. First of all, let me just provide an update to the opportunity to try the 1,500 milligram CBD oil. The company that I finally found that I felt like had a very high quality has delivered on their promise. They do have high quality. It's a pure kind of a product, so we're very pleased about that. I really found out about this company from a member of my listening audience, John Reichard, and I'm thankful to him for leading me to that particular source. The reason I want everybody to know about this opportunity is if you have believed or thought or suspected that taking CBD oil might offer some relief from whatever symptoms you might be experiencing, this particular opportunity is a great one to seize because they offer a 60-day full money-back guarantee. So it's a way you can try the oil to see if it will work. I've investigated the extent to which people have reported satisfaction and have reordered, et cetera, et cetera. And I've really got just some very gross sense of whether or not this might be something you should seriously consider. Apparently, on this general website, according to the company, approximately 60% of those who order originally reorder. So that's just a really gross estimate of, okay, maybe about two-thirds of the people with all kinds of different challenges and symptoms might see that this is actually offering them some degree of relief. In terms of persons who've actually been members of my audience who have ordered the product, we have maybe only 25% or 30%, I would say, of persons who've reordered. I asked the company about the returns, how many returns have they received, and unfortunately, they're not documenting that for me, so I don't have any report of how many people have used it, returned it for their full refund. But that in general, you can just get a gross sense then of the extent to which this might be helpful. What I can say in summary is, yes, it's clearly helping some people. There's no doubt about that. And there are many, many different symptoms that apparently have been addressed. And yes, it is not helping other people. So for what it's worth, there's no therapy I've ever identified that seems to help everyone. But this one does help some people. If you already have a source of CBD that you're using and you're pleased with, obviously do not switch over. This one, however, I think is a high-quality company. Now, in the final statement I need to make about this opportunity is that I just received an email from a member of my audience who I know pretty well who was interested in purchasing the 1,500 milligram CBD oil. And they are, get this, temporarily out of stock. Oh, shoot. Okay. This is a company about 3 years old. They are growing very rapidly. I think 1,000 new customers a day. And so it sounds like they couldn't keep up with demand. So the good news is I think it still presents itself as a wonderful opportunity. If you have been drawn to consider this as a therapeutic option and have been hesitant because of the risk, obviously no one wants to throw away $100 on something that's not going to help. This is a good thing to consider. If you are drawn to do this, you can always just send me an email, and I'll give you a heads up as to when the supply is going to be now available. It may only be a week or less. We really don't know at this point. So that's the summary I've got for you on the CBD oil opportunity. The reason I want everybody to know about this is it's, again, it's risk-free. They really will provide you with a full refund. So I think it's worth, if you're called to pursue this as a therapy, it's something to seriously consider. Now, the second big news I've got is that I hosted an interview with a man with a company that really knocked my socks off, as they say. And I have to say that he taught me quite a bit that I did not know about before in terms of why people aren't really getting well. So here's my background for you. As many of you know, I've been sponsoring these radio show programs. I've been blogging. I've been doing research on how we can address the symptoms of Parkinson's for 14 marvelous years. So that's a long time. And I've obviously interviewed all the movers and shakers out there that have anything to say. And I have quite a large and impressive number of individuals who have chased after or pursued one or another of the natural therapies that I have documented. And they've reported back, by George, this is really helping enormously. So that's been the great news about the ultimate impact that my work has had. Now, the downside for me has been that I will talk to a number of these individuals who have been really pleased with their progress, and what they basically report is, boy, you know, I really am making good progress, but I'm not there yet. I still have issues that I haven't been able to address. In other words, there's still problematic symptoms that have not been resolved. And then when we'll have a subsequent discussion, the person basically will report a diet that is impeccable, exercise that is really exactly what you would ever expect a person would need to be able to detox their lymph system and basically renew their energy. And basically their habits, their thought forms, everything is exactly where it needs to be. And yet, as I'm thinking about what I might suggest as a next step, sometimes I'm quite frankly stumped. I'm thinking, gosh, you're doing absolutely everything that anybody needs to do in order to be able to heal from the inside out. So the question is it just a question of keeping up the programs and waiting because it takes the body to heal, or is there something else involved? Now, I've never really been able to find any answer to that I thought was reasonable, until my interview with Dr. Bill McAnally, and we all fondly now call him Dr. Bill. I actually talked with him a couple of weeks ago in preparation for the radio show. Now, the deal is that Dr. McAnally has been working for basically his entire life on addressing the question, the same question I've been addressing, which is, how can the body be supported so that you can heal from the inside out naturally, so that instead of trying to suppress symptoms with medicines and drugs, which of course have side effects and can have toxic residues, the question is, okay, what does the body really need in order to be able to heal, whatever symptoms might be present? So in a way, we're partners in this journey to be able to determine the answer to that question. Now, Dr. Bill, because of his instrumentation, because of his training as a pharmacologist, has been able to pursue the questions that can now be answered because of our technology, which are drawn from analyses of, get this, skeletons of people who have died decades, centuries, even thousands of years ago. Now, what the new technology enables the researchers like Dr. McAnally to do is to answer the question, what did this person die of? What were their symptoms? What was their disease? And second of all, this is almost incredible, what food did they eat? So in the end, they've analyzed the skeletons of people who died, who basically were healthy, and those who died because they had disease. And so they can identify the specific genetic makeup of the foods that are necessary to sustain a vital life. So that technology is quite frankly unbelievable to me, but it has yielded all sorts of fascinating research discoveries by not just Dr. McNally, but a lot of researchers are now publishing studies on the general topic of apoptosis. I must confess that's a term I had only learned about after connecting with Dr. McAnally. Apoptosis is basically looking at what is required nutritionally to be able to rejuvenate and regenerate cells. In other words, what do we need to sustain the health of cells, and what is necessary to be able to support the birth of new cells, and finally, what is necessary to be able to get rid of the dead cells. So in other words, we rejuvenate all of the systems in our body at the core. So what Dr. McNally has done over many years now is to be able to look at all of that evidence, do his own research, and identify what are the foods, the nutrition that our body needs in order, again, to be able to sustain what is called apoptosis, which, again, to remind you, is the ability to rejuvenate and regenerate cells. So if you think about the problem of neural degeneration, oftentimes that's caused by a thinning of the covering on those neural networks. Myelin sheaths, they are called. And so, well, how do you rejuvenate and regenerate that if it's already thin to the point of being bare, basically? And my guess is, well, if you can rejuvenate and regenerate cells, well, this might be one of the answers. Now, what Dr. Bill did was he agreed to be a guest on my show, which he rarely does, I must say. It took me months to be able to recruit him. And he runs through his discussion of what he feels from his research are the primary factors that cause the symptoms associated with a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. And then he identifies the very specific foods or the nutrition that the body requires in order to be able to address each of those six causes. In the interview itself, I saw his teaching notes, which I have now posted on the Parkinson's Recovery blog. And as I was looking down the various factors that are listed here, for example, the inhibition of oxidative stress is one of the factors that cause these symptoms. He lists four basic foods. And I looked down at one of the foods, which is called Tongat Alley. I'd never heard of that. It's also known as Long Jack. And I said, okay, so can I get that in my local grocery store? And, of course, his answer was pretty much what I expected. No, we purchased that particular product, and I have to confess, I don't remember exactly what country. It might have been Malaysia or someplace like that. In the end, what he's discovered is that he has to actually acquire these foods from 32 different countries. In other words, countries that oftentimes are third world countries where the source of these food substances, a lot of them are actually roots, bitter roots. So he acquires the foods and then he assembles these into supplements that his new company has developed. So I just have to say I was awed and impressed by his discoveries and want to encourage you to listen to that interview with Dr. McAnally, because in the end, it sounds like if our body is not getting the basic support that it needs, then yes, we can make good progress on healing, but in the end, it may be that our body needs a little extra push in order to be able to really return to full health and wellness. And I have to confess, too, that of the many several hundreds, 250 individuals that I've interviewed on Parkinson's Recovery Radio, I have discussions with each of these guests. I'm always impressed by the amazing work that they do and their discoveries. But I personally really have never seized the opportunity to actually purchase if they're selling something or obtain the therapy that they have available. But this one I immediately did. I just have to say, when I listened to it, I thought, I think there's something to this. So listen for yourself and see what you actually think. It's an idea that to me is totally new. And again, I've been working on this for 14 years. Nobody else has basically developed this particular approach. If you're wondering, okay, well, that's kind of interesting, I have to admit. I didn't realize that although I'm eating organic food and I'm being so very careful with my diet, that I'm still not getting the nutrition that I need. So that idea is interesting. And maybe then I have to look outside the sources that are available to me locally to be able to give my body the support that it actually needs. But in the end, I wonder, okay, well, to what extent has this particular therapy, it's basically a natural food therapy, of course not a drug, might that help my symptoms? And so I want to make very clear, we don't know. We don't have a clue. This is totally, totally new. And so we don't really have any evidence. There's certainly no research. When I asked Dr. McAnally, okay, what evidence do you have for people who have Parkinson's symptoms? And his report, if I understood it, was where he had worked with one person, and of course he was very encouraged by the outcomes, but that's really not much evidence, obviously. Now, when I finished the interview, 3 or 4 days later, Dr. McAnally sent me an email and said, please, for those people who are using this, please ask them to let you know how they're doing. In other words, what he said at the very beginning of the interview is his passion in life is to be able to help people, and so he wants to know the results. So if you're so called, listen to the interview and see what you think. If your reaction is the same as mine, it would be, whoa, these are truly amazing discoveries. So I was indeed impressed by my interview with him, and I was pleased to be able to sponsor that on Parkinson's Recovery. Remember, no research, no evidence, so one way or another, we really don't have anybody who can tell us their experience with using this because, again, it's brand new, so I can't really say one way or another whether or not we have any specific evidence to say whether or not this would support your ability to heal. My sense, my intuition, my gut wisdom says, I think this is the real deal and this can really help people. Will it? Well, if you're so called to pursue this, the one thing I ask you to do is please let me know what your experience is, and we'll make sure to get that report out to individuals who are members of my audience and those who are not. Now, I have a question, as I'm always, as you know, putting out the email before our support group sessions. I'm always putting out, well, please, please send me your questions. Let me know what's up, because we want to be able to respond to all of your questions and make sure we address all of the topics that you want us to discuss during these support group gatherings. And as a footnote, for those of you who are new, please know that our support group gatherings each month are only one, and in fact, a pretty small part of your Parkinson's Recovery membership. We do daily updates on 12 different websites that provide you the support that you need. So please be sure to connect in to the support group websites and realize that you can visit that every day for just 10 minutes and get an incredible boost of motivation and enthusiasm to take charge of your own recovery programs. So I got this one email question that I want to read and respond to. If you have other topics or questions and you're connected in here live to our support group gathering, you can type those in to the questions and answers section of this teleseminar page, this course, this, I want to say, support group gathering page. Or there's also a chat room where you can also type that in. I'll be happy to read that and respond in one way or another. So this one comes from Trula, and it says, Dr. Rogers, and again, remember, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a researcher, PhD type. Congratulations for obtaining Dr. Bill McAnally's interview. Well, thank you, Trula. I feel like that's exactly right. I'm really so pleased that I was able to convince him to be a guest on the show. I found it fascinating and wish I had the time right now to read a few of his articles on PubMed. That's the PubMed, P-U-B-M-E-D.gov, is the basic depository from the United States research depository of all the refereed publications on medical kind of issues. And so Dr. McAnally has, oh my heavens, I think several hundred articles that he's published on PubMed. Thank you for putting together the summary notes. And by the way, so the summary notes are added to the actual interview on the Parkinson's Recovery blog. And on the support group page for September, down at the bottom, you should be able to see a link, if I did this correctly, to that particular blog. And so that's a little better resource to listen to the interview with him, because what I've got there on the blog are the teaching notes that he spoke to as we did the interview. So you listen to his discussion and you can follow down to the teaching notes that he actually sent to me and gave me permission to post. So check out that blog. You can also obviously get to the blog by simply going to the main website, parkinsonsrecovery.com, and there you'll see a link to the blog as well as to a number of the other websites that I maintain here at Parkinson's Recovery. So here is the question for today. I have been operating based on an assumption about dopamine production that may not be true. I have assumed that the use of L-DOPA creates a, quote, crutch for the neurons that are supposed to be producing dopamine and thereby reduces the brain's natural production of dopamine and may hasten the total shutdown of dopamine production. What are your thoughts on that? So my general overview of what is really happening in the process of giving yourself a infusion of L-DOPA, whether that's through amino acid therapy or whether that's through some of the prescription medications that neurologists prescribe, is pretty much going to support your general impression of the process. And let me just explain my sense of really what is going on. The body has this natural innate wisdom to be able to do and adjust everything that we need moment to moment. We have 40 hormones that need to be continuously adjusted. And those adjustments are not every day, not every week. They are every millisecond. So 40 hormones, one of them happens to be dopamine. So I think a lot of people discount the miracle of what it takes for the body to function. I mean, we are not machines. We are miracles. And so how in the world do you go about knowing how to literally adjust these 40 hormones, as well as maintain all of the other functions, the respiratory, the digestive, the neural network processing, et cetera, et cetera? Whoa, I mean, that's a barrel full. Of course, the researchers, people like me, would I guess like for people to believe, oh, we've got this wonderful answer to how the body actually functions, but the truth is, we really don't have a clue how in the world the body is able to work the miracles that it does. After all, you have conception, you have one cell that starts, wait a minute, and that, you know, actually becomes an entire being, whether it's an animal or a human. How does that work? Well, nobody's ever really figured that out, and that's because it really is a miracle. So in terms of what really happens in terms of the processing of the body, I think if you'll think of this as the exchange between two individuals who are responsible for working on a project. Let's say it's you and me, and we're a part of a large organization, and our supervisor has basically said, we want the two of us to work as a team to produce a new product. And so we say, okay, great, and so we begin to work together. And I have all of the abilities, the skills, the techniques, the research background to be able to basically figure out what this new product formulation should be, as do you. We both do. And so we start to work, and you get really enthused about working on this project. And so over the course of a couple of days, you say to me, Okay, well, look, Robert, why don't I just work on this myself? I'll take full responsibility. I'll do this. What do I say in response? Well, obviously I say, oh my goodness, that sounds great. Why don't you do this? And I'll devote my attention to other tasks. There are other things I'd like to be able to do. And so we basically divide up, and you're the one who does all the work, and I basically start doing something else. Okay, what happens to my skills? I had all that information in mind. I knew about the research. I knew all the details of, you know, what we needed to do in order to formulate the product. But as I get involved with something else, I begin to forget a lot of what it was that I once knew, because you're the one who's doing it. You're the one who's taking responsibility. You're the one who's actually formulating this, whatever this new product is. All right. What this means is that my skills, my abilities to be able to produce this atrophy, in other words, they dwindle, they fizzle out over time. And I'm not able then to do the incredible development that you're able to do because you're the one who's devoting all of your attention to it. Well, I think in a sense that's sort of a crude way of explaining what happens in the body. So what's happening when the body is naturally producing all of these 40 hormones, including dopamine? It's a natural process. And then all of a sudden, we say to our body, because we have communications with our body all the time, look, body, I really think you're not doing your job. You're not capable of producing the dopamine that I really need in order to be able to function the way I want to function. So guess what? I'm going to relieve you of this responsibility, and I'm going to give it to the supplements that I'm taking or the medicines or whatever I've decided to take. Maybe it's amino acid therapy. So that's what I'm going to do. And so the body says, oh, really? But wait a minute. I mean, I really know how to do this. So I just need a little extra support here or there. And we say, no, you've had your chance. I'm sorry, but I'm going to now have to take charge. You're just not doing your job. All right, so the body says, well, okay, I've got a lot to do here. We've got about a million transactions every second that I'm responsible for. So that'll take out some of the complexity, and okay, go ahead and do that, and then we'll just make adjustments accordingly. So what happens, I think, is the body's attention that is required to be able to focus on the production of dopamine just basically is disabled. It's like turning off the heat in the wintertime. And the body no longer is paying attention to producing dopamine naturally, because after all, you're responsible for that. Now you're doing that. Okay, fine. You can do that. And of course, the body is saying, you know what? I think I can do a better job because, you know, these are pretty fine adjustments and I can make these every second. It looks like you're making them, what, once every 3 or 4 hours or every 6 hours? Okay, that's fine. All right, fine. It's your job. You decided you want to do it, so go for it. In other words, the body in its intelligence is basically saying, okay, I defer. This is what you want to do, I'll defer to you, and then I'll try to make some response to whatever you're doing as best I can. So I think in the end, you have to realize that the body is doing a lot. It is a miracle. And yet, if you're going to take responsibility to do what the body knows how to do naturally, then the body's going to say, okay, fine, you do it, and I'm going to just basically pay attention to other kinds of responsibilities. It's a natural process. And, of course, if then you give up on saying, well, I'm going to stop this medicine, and I think I'm sure most of you here listening to this discussion are well aware, you can't go cold turkey on this medicine. I mean, after all, you go cold turkey, you're going to have some serious side effects. A lot of people have to go to the emergency room, so you have to be very careful about weaning off these medicines very, very slowly in close conjunction with consultations with your doctor. And so what happens, what does the body do when all of a sudden you stop giving this infusion of dopamine? And, of course, the L-DOPA is the precursor to the body's ability to make dopamine. Well, the body all of a sudden says, well, wait a minute. Well, hello, you said you were doing this, and all of a sudden you're not. And, of course, the body doesn't have the systems for being able to produce dopamine. And then, of course, there are the side effects, the withdrawal effects. And so the body gets busy with all of that and is not able to allocate the attention or the time to produce dopamine. Now, I think a lot of people also are actually not aware that the body sometimes is not even aware of something that it needs to pay attention to. For example, it's the case that if there is an egregious infection in the body, and you could say it might be herpes, it might be a problem of some of these horrendous infections like MRSA that we know can cause awful damage in the body, it's sometimes the case that the body's actually not aware that the infection exists. And there's some reasons for that. The infections actually are able to sort of cloak themselves so the body doesn't even see them. And that's, in a way, one of the problems with the artificial infusion of anything, is that all of a sudden the body may not even realize what work it needs to do in order to be able to address these kinds of infections. So this is a long way of explaining, yes, I think the long-term consequences are you are attempting to suppress a symptom artificially, no matter whether it's a prescription medicine or a supplement, it doesn't really matter, instead of asking a different question, and that is, well, what is the underlying support that the body needs in order to be able to heal from the inside out? Now, that whole process I described is a slow process. It's not instant, but I think over time, it can create those kinds of imbalances that create a problem for the body. Now, the second kind of question here is, what are the best ways to deal with muscle stiffness? I stretch and use the Beamer to get relief, but an hour later, my hamstrings and quads are stiff again. So, in terms of muscle stiffness, I just want to say that in general, the problem typically is a liver and or a gallbladder issue. So chances are you have done quite a bit of detoxing, and that is a key to being able to address the challenge of the really problematic symptom of muscle stiffness. If you think of gallbladder issues, what I think I want to say is that the gallbladder is an organ that has a flow. It empties and it fills. So the gallbladder has a flow, which means that in order to be able to support your gallbladder, you need to be in the flow of the cycle rather than resisting. So, if I could explain one little example that would challenge the ability of your gallbladder to empty and fill. You're on the run, you're stressed, you have a challenging job, and you don't have much time to eat. Okay, there's only 8 minutes available to digest anything to eat, and you really do need to eat a little bit of something for lunch. So you rush over to the office refrigerator, you get out a little salad that you brought for lunch, and you stand up, not sit down, and you eat as fast as you can for 8 minutes. You throw the salad that was unable to be eaten because you didn't have time in the fridge, and you got back to work. All right, so, whoa, that's a pretty stressful experience. And you're not able then to sit down and slowly be able to eat and chew up your food and digest your food and allow digestion to take its natural course. So the gallbladder literally is a symbol of the ebb and flow of living our life day in and day out. If then we are always in a place of doing, moving, making things happen, influencing people, creating, in other words, we're on the go all the time, well, okay, great, that's a gift to be sure, but you're basically, if you think of the gallbladder, your gallbladder then always has to be filled up. You're always pushing. So, in essence, the way from the inside out to address the problem of gallbladder that is problematic is to realize that it really comes down to living day by day in the moment by allowing yourself to be on the go, because that's what you're good at, and then allowing yourself the time to chill out, relax, rest, and allow that gallbladder to be able to let loose. In other words, not be as restricted, not as tense, not as tight. And again, that creates problems with all the muscles. So in a way, this is the free way to be able to address the problem. It's a kind of a question of realizing, all right, we really have to figure out habits in our life, despite challenging jobs and the kind of demands we put on ourselves, to be able to realize, yes, let's charge ahead and make it happen, but then also balance that out with chilling out, relaxing, enjoying ourselves, laughing, being in the company of others that we love, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, it needs to be both in order for that gallbladder to function. So think of, in terms of an analogy, how the ocean functions. So look out at the shore of the ocean in your imagination, and you see that tide comes in, and then it goes out. So when the tide is coming in, you are on go, 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 and then as the tide goes out, you are on that relaxation. Whew, okay, fine. That's great. It's time to have a little breather. And then, whoop, we come back in, and then we go out. And so that's really the whole process of emptying and filling. Now, I also have a second suggestion, which probably may be the best here. When you actually say in your statement, I stretch to get relief. Now, I don't have a lot of detail when you say that you stretch of what actually that means. But let me just make a guess. When you say you stretch, so does that mean then that literally you are forcing these tight muscles in a direction that they may be resisting? The approach that I want to suggest, and you may have tried this and it hasn't been as successful as I would hope, would be instead of a stretch in the sense of forcing the muscles to rather do something which I would describe to be movement in the direction of ease. So if you have, for example, your hamstrings that are really, really stiff, or your quads, what you can do is just begin to move them very gently, very slowly. But if you hit up against a place of resistance, in other words, the body really, really gets stuck there, then do not force the movement. Rather, just allow yourself to only move the hamstrings and the quads in the direction where it's not going to be painful or there's going to be any resistance at all. It's called unwinding. And it's also a strategy that is used in a yoga called yin yoga, Y-I-N, and then Y-O-G-A. So when most people think of yoga, they think of the rather strenuous yoga where people really are stretching out all of their muscles and going from one position to the next without any pauses. Well, with yin yoga, you literally put your body in a particular position, and you may hold that very same position for 3, 4, 5 minutes or even longer. And what's happening is there's a releasing that is actually happening, a releasing. So if you haven't done this already, or if you're not familiar with it, you might do some low-level research on yin yoga to see what all of that is about. Again, it's not something you have to go to a therapist for. It's something you can do at home. And I think you might find that instead of the stretches as being moving your muscles in the direction of resistance, in other words, trying to sort of force those muscles to stretch out, instead what you're doing is you're saying, all right, let's simply work with the body. If there's resistance, then I'll only move the places that are tight in my body in the direction of ease. It's called unwinding. The problem of stiffness is also a problem of the connective tissues. And so what happens is the connective tissues get really rumpled up and stiff and dry, actually, instead of moist. And the connective tissues are actually one of the ways that the communication in the body functions. So for people who have walking difficulties, the real problem actually can be a problem of connective tissue dysfunction. And so by the unwinding process, what you're doing is you're allowing these connective tissues to be basically uncrumbled, if I could use a rather awkward term. In other words, you are unraveling the crunching of the tissues. You are moistening them so that the communications that the body is sending through all of the meridians can work effortlessly and without any kind of a problem whatsoever. Those are my thoughts for you on the issue of the difficulty that you're actually experiencing, and I hope a couple of them you'll find to be somewhat useful. I don't think in the end medicines can help other than magnesium lotion. So for muscle stiffness, particularly muscle stiffness that might result in cramping, it is often the case that if you can get some magnesium lotion and just apply the lotion to the places in your body that are stiff, you can also find some pretty quick relief. The magnesium lotion that we purchase here for our own personal use is from a company called Ancient Minerals. It's very high quality. And what I know is, particularly in the evening, I will sometimes all of a sudden have an instant cramping in my calves. And if I simply apply the lotion within a matter of a couple of minutes, the cramping resolves. So the magnesium lotion might be something that you'll also find that will be a source of relief. The food that we eat, following up actually in Dr. McAnally's research findings today, does not have the magnesium that our body needs. And so pretty much everybody, not just persons experiencing the symptoms of Parkinson's, needs to be able to have a magnesium supplement. I think one of the best sources of magnesium supplement is to receive it through the skin rather than to take it, ingest it as a supplement. And so I always use the lotion myself, and we'll recommend that you try that, particularly because you can apply the lotion to the specific hamstrings, for example, and the quads that wind up being so stiff. So now I want to check before I connect in with each of you to say hello, what's up, what's going on. I want to just see if we've got anything here on the chat room, and we do. Vana says, just join the session. What was the doctor's name, and what is the date of his radio interview? So, Vana, what I would suggest that you do is to visit the Parkinson's Recovery blog. It's the most recent entry that I made. Of course, we have the radio show page, and of course, we also have the membership page. And I believe, Ona, you're also a member. You might be able to go on the radio show member page. Of course, you're a member. We're here in the support group gathering. And click on the radio show interview on the member page. We have 12 different websites. Scroll down the right side column. You'll see it says radio show. Click on the radio show, and you'll see, first of all, the recording that you can listen to, but also you'll see the notes that Dr. McAnally gave to us. And so you can follow down and read the notes in addition to listening to the interview. So I think the easiest thing to do would be, instead of going to the blog, go to the member website page that is the radio show page, and that'll be the easiest way to get access to that particular interview. Let me check the questions and answers section. I don't see anything there right now, so I'm going to go back up to the listing here of those of you who've had a chance to call in, and I want to say hello to each of you who called in and to see if there are any questions, any topics, any follow-up reports or experiences you've got that you want to share with others here in our gathering today. So first of all, let me connect in with Bill. And hello, Bill. It's great to connect with you. How are you?
Hey, Robert. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Pretty well, thank you. Thanks for asking. So what's up with you today?
I just have two quick comments. With respect to the interview you were talking about, where he's got certain foods or food-like substances that are he's found helpful. I'm sorry, I haven't listened to the actual interview, but I will at some point. But my comment would be that one of the things I'm doing now is working with a Chinese medicine herbalist practitioner, and that basically sounds similar in approach, where they use, you know, I jokingly say bark and twigs and dirt.
That's it, Bill. That's exactly right. It sounds like you're getting access to that, but sort of in a different way. And they probably don't have all the sophisticated research, but they're doing the same thing, it sounds like.
Right. And, it's, of course, Chinese medicine has been developing and evolving over thousands of years. So
right. It's just something to be said for that. And our allopathic medicine here in the West is only a little over 100 years old. So Chinese have got a few years and decades over us.
Right. So for anybody who has access to somebody who's, you know, reputable and been doing it for a while, this guy's a fourth-generation practitioner. So, but, you know, unfortunately, most of them are, I mean, we live in Los Angeles now, so they're reasonably easy to find somebody like that if you live in a big city.
Right.
But if you don't, I mean, it might be somewhat more problematic hooking up with somebody.
Oh, right. And you used to be in North Carolina. There probably wasn't anybody in North Carolina when you were there.
Not really. I mean, we had this in mind to do once we knew we were going to move. And this guy is great. Typically, you know, they approach things differently than in Western medicine. It's a kind of whole body approach, and they don't just deal with the way Western medicine does. Is you have a problem with your heart, you know, here's what we do to treat the heart. You have a lung problem, you know, deal with the lungs. They approach it as a kind of, if there's something wrong with you or so you have some disease symptoms, they treat your entire physical self rather than just go after that one body organ.
Right. That, to me, makes so much sense, too. It allows the body to get the support it needs to heal.
Right. So, I mean, we just started, when we moved here a couple months ago on this, and it's, you know, as he and everybody else says, it takes years to develop Parkinson's, so it's going to take years to try and beat it back. It's not something that's going to be fixed overnight.
Right.
But I can sense some progress, so I'm very encouraged by that. And I would encourage other people, if they have access to somebody who they feel they can trust, that would be something to look into.
What a wonderful suggestion!
And the only other thing that I would add, a different thing, is. And this is really basic, but the last couple of years I've had a lot of issues with my legs being, you know, the muscle rigidity you get, and kind of they feel heavy and so on. And really the best thing I've found for that is an exercise bike. If you just will go, you don't have to knock yourself out aerobically, but just go on a good quality exercise bike and go for as long as you can. I mean, 20, 30 minutes is good. That's what I do. But to start out, even if you just do 10 minutes, I think you'll find that when you get off, even though it may hurt you while you're on there, you get off, you'll feel better. I mean, your legs will feel better.
Great.
And the kind that I think is best is the so-called recumbent bikes, where you're leaning backwards slightly, you're not hunched over like on a normal bicycle. So those are easier on the back if you have back issues. and I was just generally more comfortable. So, and that's something, I mean, where we live now, there's a real nice gym with exercise equipment all over the place. So we're lucky in that way, but I mean, you can certainly find a gym pretty much everywhere. And it'd be worth a try. It's very low cost and easy to find out if it's something that helps you. And what I find it helps me with is if you have any leg issues, you know, rigidity, pain, cramping, you know, all that stuff, the more limber you can make your legs, the better. This is an easy way to do it.
What a second wonderful suggestion, Bill. I know a lot of people will greatly appreciate that. The toxins in the body can get stuck in the lymph nodes as well. And when you're doing that bike, boy, does that enable the lymph to be able to move and get out of the body rather than just sticking in those nodes. If you don't have movement, the lymph is just going to stick in there, literally. And harden,
right,
and create all kind of problems. So that movement just is marvelous. There's going to be also a follow-up interview with a man that was, he's a psychiatrist, and he had a diagnosis of Parkinson's. His name is Chris Hagerseth, and Chris is going to be a guest on the show this week. And he's got some interesting things to say about exercise as well, because I think he has discovered what you've discovered, that kind of exercise makes a really huge difference.
Yeah, it's pretty basic. I mean, everybody recommends it, and not as many people that should take that advice and actually do it. But it's sometimes we, in the search of the exotic, we forget the basics. And
isn't that the truth? It's like the simplest solution sometimes is the one that's going to work the best.
Right, and that's just kind of how my mind works, to kind of, if I find myself lost in the weeds of whatever the latest suggestion is, it's to say, well, am I still fulfilling the basic things that pretty much everybody agrees are helpful?
Exactly. And so stick with that, and you're going to have a winner for sure.
Yeah. And I'll just mention quickly, an additional benefit to something like the exercise bike is as you do it, you get better at it, as it were. I mean, you can go a little farther. It's not as tiring. And, you know, you can increase the RPMs. And that's encouraging on a psychological level, because so much of what we deal with on a day-to-day is worrying about, oh, is this getting worse or is that getting worse? So if you've got something that's actually manifestly better from maybe not day-to-day, but certainly week-to-week, that's beneficial psychologically and just, I mean, mentally.
Right.
So that's one more reason to do it.
And a good reason at that. There are now almost a daily, if not every other day, posting on the Parkinson's Recovery blog of a person who's selling a bike, an exercise bike. And so for those of you interested in maybe acquiring one, you might want to just follow those listings. It's quite amazing. People will say, I've got a bike. It cost me initially $5,000 or $6,000, but I'm willing to sell it for $2,000 or $1,500 or whatever. So if you're interested in purchasing something rather than going to a health clinic, you might be able to find a resource there on the Parkinson's Recovery blog. But as Bill points out, I want to emphasize these health clubs. They really cost very little in the scheme of things. So you can get a monthly membership and pay very little to be able to get a wonderful benefit. So we're talking about something you can do that really is not going to cost a fortune.
Right. Very low cost and low tech, really. And I personally don't think, I mean, it's probably fine, but that super expensive Parkinson's stationary bike, I don't think is necessary for everyone. I think just an ordinary
bike, exactly.
You know,
the
it's a
interview
normal
that
health
club. Yeah, the interview that I did with Jay Alberts, he's a PhD kind of researcher at the Cleveland Clinic about, it's now been about 8 years ago, where we first documented the value of forced exercise. And he had been doing some studies with wonderful results with Parkinson's subjects. And basically, he initially got his discovery from riding on a tandem. In other words, he was the person that was riding the bike in the front, and the person with Parkinson's symptoms was on the second seat, the back seat. So you don't have to get really sophisticated with this. I mean, how about a tandem bike? In other words, one that has two seats. And if you are a person with Parkinson's symptoms and you have a family member, maybe a child who is strong and vibrant and young, well, put them on the front seat and go out every other day and have a bike ride. And that's going to do just as well as pretty much anything.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I personally don't, I never did like riding normal bicycles, but this is a, you know, a stationary bike is a different animal. And if you can find a health club that has these recumbent ones, they're pretty comfortable. You don't have that problem with the seat hitting you in places where you're, you know, it hurts and that kind of stuff. So, and you can start off slow at the lowest grade, and as you get stronger, you know, you'll feel better and you'll have a sense of accomplishment. So it's, you know, it's just a simple suggestion, but it might be helpful to other people.
My guess is it definitely will, Bill. Thank you so much for offering that. One of the things that Dr. Hegeseth told me in preparation for the interview this week is that he has concluded that one of the reasons why people have walking difficulty is one of the legs actually is a lot weaker than the other. So strengthening the muscles in the weak leg can oftentimes be a solution to mobility challenges, which I thought was quite interesting. So he's found that he's weaker in one leg than the other, and by strengthening the one leg, by doing exactly what you're just describing, recumbent bike and doing that kind of exercise, that he's made a big difference in his mobility.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, even non-Parkinson's people will often have a dominant side or a dominant leg and one that's a little weaker. But with Parkinson's, I mean, if you have leg issues, it often starts just on one side and then will supposedly sometimes move to the other. But even when both legs are, you still have a stronger and a weaker one. So I completely concur.
Yeah. Well, Bill, thanks so much for those marvelous suggestions that I know will be appreciated by many, many people who are here today and listen to the replay.
Sure. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Bill, for being here. And it's so wonderful for you to connect in each and every month. Hello, Jane from Italy. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Wait a minute. I've got to get closer to the computer.
Okay.
I listen sitting down on the floor, and then I come up to the computer chair when you call my name. So here I am. How are you?
Oh, well, thank you. And how are you doing?
I'm doing fair to middling, fair to middling. It's kind of a battleground inside my head, you know? And I'm getting ready to go to the States, to come to the States.
Yeah.
In October. And I've created so much anxiety for myself over travel. And but today I discussed it with my husband again. Just decided I'm going to pay to have my luggage put on the instead of carrying it on, and just let them take care of it and just get on the planes.
Good.
So I mean, it sounds like a small deal, but it became a big deal in my head because I just had so much anxiety over three plane changes.
Yeah.
But if I take it one plane change at a time, I guess I can do it.
One step at a time, as they say.
They say. One day at a time, one moment at a time, one eyelash at a time.
Yeah.
You know, but tonight has been really helpful for me, and thanks to Bill also, because I wanted to say something. You were talking about yin yoga. In addition to yin yoga, there's a kind of yoga called restorative yoga. And the best book on it is called Relax and Renew by Judith Lassiter. And she's been around for like 40 years before Yin Yoga came into vogue. And what it is using supports like blankets and sometimes blocks, but the very basic yoga stuff. You support the body in a position so that it can stay there longer and relax and unwind. And I'm finding that as I get more familiar with my new body, that's what my body needs as opposed to moving. I mean, as opposed to the kind of yoga that I did before, which was more the active yoga.
Right.
But I'm wondering something funny, which is that if I haven't been over enthusiastic in my attempts to walk to cure myself and put my body under more stress than it needs to be by walking every single day, every morning for 9 kilometers, for 12 kilometers, I might want to back off that a little bit and have some rest days.
Yeah. I know when I interviewed a researcher whose research focused on the exercise that was useful for persons with Parkinson's symptoms, he did mention that he felt as though having a rest day was important. And so he basically said, yeah, I think allowing yourself to have that intensive exercise is great, but then to rest the next day is also really important. He also mentioned to vary the type of exercise. So obviously you're doing all the yoga and you're doing the walking. He also said that the resistance exercise, in other words, something that might be similar to weightlifting, can also be a nice complement as well for an exercise program.
I'm thinking after listening to Chris that I might actually check out a gym, which is like really foreign to my way of thinking, but the exercise bike sounds good because I haven't been biking lately because the kind of biking we did was pretty much longer distance and I haven't felt up to it.
Oh, yeah. But you could do it in the gym without any problem.
Yeah. So I'm going to, it's in a good session. Thank you.
Oh, and good, Jane.
Because it gave me some positive things to do. And also, at the beginning of the session, I ran and got my dead sea oil and put it on my legs.
Ah, very interesting. Well, I'm glad the discussion, particularly from Bill, has been so useful to you. I know Bill will feel good about hearing that it's been useful. And, Jane, I know you discussed your journey here to the States to go to that big conference here in October. And I want to encourage you, in terms of whatever anxiety that it's provoking, to think of that journey as something like a vision quest or a shamanic journey. Maybe there's some movies or some stories that you can connect in with before you leave, but it's almost as if you're going to be going on a healing journey. And of course, that's what vision quests are. That's what the shamans do. They go out on these big, journeys to somewhere different. And maybe thinking of it that way will reduce your anxiety.
I think that's true. I also think that some of my anxiety comes from the fact that by making the decision to go, that I'm confronting limitations or fear of limitations. And because I can't tell you how many times I thought I just ought to just cancel the whole thing. And then I thought, no, if I cancel the whole thing, I'll just let it get me. But if I just take it slow and one step at a time and do what I can, I'll move to a new place. I'll find there's a possibility of healing.
And you might want to just scratch the word possibility and say, I am healing. It's not just a possibility. You are doing it. I know you are doing it. And a mantra for you that you can say during your journey, throughout your journey, is, I am all that I need to be and always have been.
I am all that I need to be and always have been.
Always have been. That's a mantra that you can use. And I bet then you'll be able to take the journey step by step and have an absolutely spectacular experience.
Well, I'll report in next month. I'm jumping from thing to thing, but thank you for putting the notes up, because I'm going to have to look back at the notes, because I found the interview with Dr. Bill pretty overwhelming.
It was. I had the same feeling. There's a lot of technical information, and, of course, he's a scientist, so he uses these words we've never heard before. So be sure to go on to the radio show page where all the notes are, if you haven't done that, and I think you'll find that to be very helpful.
Well, I haven't done that, and I drag my feet about these things, but it's a positive action to take in terms of pointing towards recovery.
Exactly. Well, if that's something that you're called to pursue, unfortunately, because you're in Italy, they won't ship to Italy, but they will ship to the United States. So you could always have them ship it to wherever you're going to be located here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, but it's not like I'm there all the time.
Oh, good. So there's a way to solve that, it sounds like.
No. It's not like I'm in the States all the time. So if I got it once, I wouldn't be able to get it again. So I'm really unloaded.
Right.
Ordering.
That makes sense. That's right. That would be exactly right.
A friend of mine who was visiting me suggested that I get biome testing. Anything about biome testing?
Yeah. And how is that going with them?
Well, she found it really, really helpful, but I can't seem to do it because I can't find anything in Europe that does it.
Oh.
So I'm still researching that.
Yeah. Well, and you are visiting the States here for that event. Maybe there's something you can find while you're here.
Yeah, but it runs into the same thing because there's a follow-up and I have to be in the States to follow it up.
Right, of course.
But that limitation is also a margin for learning. So maybe that's just not what I need to do if it's unavailable.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, okay, that's not accessible to me, but there's another solution out there. So let me just keep looking.
And again, I'm back to, prayer, meditation, and exercise.
The basics, the most fundamental that you can access to be able to get well. You can't do better than that.
And it also occurred to me something else, which is about food, which is that I eat the same thing day after day after day, and probably I have to vary my diet more.
Right. That should help, is vary the colors that you eat, and you'll be more likely to get the nutrition your body needs. Good point.
Yeah. So, again, you do things that you fall into habit patterns, and they're healthy habit patterns, but they're still habit patterns.
Yep. That's right.
And also habit patterns of thought, which are not necessarily all healthy.
No. I'm afraid that's true for all of us.
The truth is that I'm not getting any worse at all. As a matter of fact, even when I went to the neurologist, she said she wanted to put me on L-DOPA, and I said, no, I'm afraid of L-DOPA. And she said, well, you're not getting any worse, so come back when you feel like you want to get medication.
It's interesting that the statement is, I'm not getting any worse. It seems to me what you're saying is, I'm holding my own and always will.
I'm holding my own and always will.
And always will.
How about I'm holding my own healing?
Yeah, because, I'm not getting any worse. That just infers that it's inevitable you'll get worse, and that's not true. So that's a thought form that you want to be sure to transform.
So many of them. I had no idea I was so full of these. Samskara is the thought form.
Oh, yep, that's what it is.
A way of thinking.
Well, so, Jane, we all wish you the best of luck. May your journey prove to be exciting, adventuresome, joyful, and productive. And we look forward to hearing your report when you get back at our meeting next month.
Thank you so much, Robert.
And thank you for being here, Jane. So let me now connect in to Trula. Hello. How are you? Are you there? connecting in to say hello to Trula. Hello, are you there? So it sounds like maybe the connection here is not quite good. So let me move up here to Vonna. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I had no
idea. Hello there. So what's up with you?
Well, I've been doing some traveling. I just got back from Chicago.
Whoa.
And I'm going to be going back to San Francisco and Lake Tahoe this next month.
That sounds exciting.
In the meantime, I also have a special meeting on my roster, on my schedule, and I wondered if Jane was going to the same meeting, the one in Houston.
No, she's not. No, I actually know the answer to that. It's a yoga retreat, so it's not where you're going to be going.
Oh, Okay. Just curious. If it was, I would just give a shout-out to her and say hello.
Yes, exactly. No, she's not going to that one. It's going to be this. I think she's a yoga instructor, and so it's a special training.
Oh. That's interesting. I used to do yoga way back when, and I've also done Tai Chi before, too.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I have still been taking a bit of the dopamine stuff, which I really would like to cut down. I don't notice much difference in taking it versus not taking it.
The supplement is that cinnamon or is that another supplement?
Cinnamon, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so maybe that's not the issue. Maybe dopamine deficiency is not the issue. Have you talked with your doctor about that?
Well, my doctor doesn't know squat.
Oh.
Any neurologist I go to doesn't know squat. I don't have that much trust in him. I've gone
How long have you been? How long have you been taking it?
About a year. About a year. It'd be a year, I guess.
Oh.
Been over a year now.
Well, Vonna, what I can tell you, what I can just report to you, just based on my many, many, many discussions with persons over the last 14 years, is that there are a number of people who are prescribed the sentiment medication, and what they report are two things. One of them is that they really get pretty quick, noticeable relief. So they'll take their medicine, and then, you know, in a matter of 20 minutes or 30 minutes at the most, they notice a significant a suppression of their symptoms. And then, of course, they have to retake their medicine a few hours later to be able to return to that state because the symptoms get worse and worse. There are people who kind of report like you, well, they take it but don't notice any difference. And so I kind of always sort of suspect, well, gosh, if you're not experiencing relief from the medicine, sounds like that the dopamine may not really be the key issue for you. It must be something else going on.
Well, my right hand is one that's problematic. And I've talked to doctors about having surgery because they said it could be carpal tunnel or nerve compression in my elbow. And I'm hesitant to do that. I really don't want to do that. It's not painful. It's just I don't have full functioning of it. The finger's sort of stiff. But my left hand has been fine until I fell on my arm about a year ago and fractured my upper humerus and my pelvic. It's been about a year since I did that.
Oh.
So I'm walking just fine without a walker. I'm driving a car. But I seem to be off and on still pretty much brain fogged. In other words, I sort of have to hang on to things sometimes to make sure I don't fall.
Oh, my. Well, in your right hand, is it your whole hand or is there a specific finger that tends to be problematic?
Well, the first finger, the little pinky finger was the one that was problematic. It was sort of tricky in the middle joint of my finger.
The little small finger in the end?
Yeah, the little pinky finger, little bitty one. And now the ring finger and the middle finger and the pointing finger are sort of all a little bit stiff. But I exercise them as much as I can because I've gotten occupational therapy for a long time until it's at a point where they don't improve, and if they don't improve, then Medicare stops paying for it.
Oh, right. Well, just for your information, Vonna, as I'm looking through the various meridian charts, the small intestine meridian goes through the pinky finger.
Yeah. Well, I do have a gallbladder stone, one or many of them, I'm not sure.
Oh.
And when I was going to have my colon checked, the colon doctor said, I mentioned to him that I had a gallstone. He said, "Oh, well, let's just take out your gallbladder while we have you out." I said, No.
Yeah.
I used to have sharp pains in my gallbladder, but I don't anymore. So I'm tempted to say, hey, let's leave it in, because, I mean, they were rushing to the conclusion that I needed if you've got a gallstone, let's just rip it out. I said, no,
yeah.
I don't think so.
Right. Well, so it sounds like the focus that you can give in your recovery program is really primarily digestive and to continue to do the kind of things you're doing to support and enhance your digestive system would probably be really smart.
Well, I've gotten off of gluten so much. I don't eat much bread.
Good.
But I have gained weight because when I came out of a rehab center from having the fall, I weighed about 95 pounds, and now I weigh about 125,
126. Oh, hey, that's good news, huh?
Yeah.
Great.
So I've been weighing on a weekly basis. But one of the things I want to tell you about is this one company that I order stuff from is in the process of introducing CBD products. The CBD products are good for uplifting mood. One thing is like a gel capsule that you can eat. I chew it up and get the liquid out of it. And the other one is a lotion that you can put topically on your hand. It's good for pain.
Yeah.
Made of CBD. And then the third product is for sleep. And I've been using all three of them with success, and I've really been getting a good night's sleep.
Fantastic. That's great news.
So,
oh, my God.
If anybody wants to know more about those, it can, you know, touch base with me. But I also do a company have subscribed to a thing called, I call it the Best Health Exam.
Uh-huh.
B-E-S-T Health, H-E-A-L-T-H, exam, EXAM.com. And a person can go in there, anybody in the world can go in there and do a self-health exam and answer all the questions. It's like their own self-exam.
Mm-hmm.
And based upon how they answer it, this doctor ends up telling them things that might be good for them, such as nutritional supplements. And through this company, I've also been taking OsteoFX, which is very good for the bones. And I do it. A tablespoon in the morning and a tablespoon in the evening, and I just put a little bit of water in it. And it makes me sleep a lot better also.
Oh, great. My God. Okay. You've got all kind of positive and encouraging reports.
Yeah, I do. If I just get, you know, this dopamine stuff I'm taking, shouldn't it get rid of my tremor in my right hand?
Are you asking, should it?
Yeah.
Well,
you know, you're talking about getting rid of symptoms. That's the only symptom I have. It's just sort of a tremor in my right hand, a couple of fingers.
Right. Well, so like I was saying, for some people the answer is yes, the tremor is totally suppressed, at least for a while, and for other people the answer is no.
Yeah.
So it may be that medicine...
Well, that's no help. I'm just being funny. I said, well, that's no
yeah.
help.
Right. Well, of course, now that you're taking it, remember, don't just go cold turkey if you decide you want to wean
I
off
won't
of
go,
it. You know,
go turkey.
Work with your doctor and little by little. It sounds like, though, some of the other kinds of therapies you're pursuing are just having marvelous results, so that's very encouraging.
Well, I don't know. I think my circulation is not all the best in the world. So that was the thing that I was going to, was that conference in Houston.
Oh, great. Yes, that should help that, definitely. That's a great idea. Well, you'll see after you get through with that whether or not that's going to help.
Yeah.
Great idea.
And for Jane, who's going to do some traveling,
yeah,
don't worry about ordering a wheelchair. I was thinking I could walk, which I could, walk out to the gate to get on the plane or walk back from the plane to go in the terminal. But I found out that traveling internationally really helped me to be in a wheelchair because they took me to the front of the line where you had all these people had to check in with their passports.
Yeah.
When I was in a wheelchair, they took me right up to the front of the line. So I didn't pass up opportunity.
That's great.
I didn't pass up an opportunity ever at all. So if Jane's traveling, don't feel bad about saying, look, I need a wheelchair. Just tell your airline that you need one. And they'll take care of you. They'll wheel you right out there. At first I thought, well, me order a wheelchair? I don't think so. I'm going to walk out there and walk back. But, you know, when I went through customs, it was a breeze. I just was in a wheelchair, and I went right straight through.
Oh, that's such a great suggestion. And you've done quite a bit of traveling, so you know.
Yeah, well, I went to New Zealand a couple of months ago, and I'll probably go to Australia again around the first of the year because I have a son over there.
Oh.
So, but do order a wheelchair. Just have a wheelchair ready for you when you get off the plane.
That's like a great suggestion.
Well, I think it is if you're traveling. And I'm going to be traveling by myself because my husband and I are going to be out at Lake Tahoe, and he's going to drive me down to Reno, and I'm going to get on the plane and fly from Reno to Houston to go to this conference all by myself.
Good for you.
I'm just going to say, wheelchair here, wheelchair there. Wheelchair.
Right. And take your own advice. Sounds great.
Yeah. So Vauna1, V-A-U-N-A, Vauna1, like the number one, at AOL.com. If anybody wants to know more about that CBD stuff, it really is great. And I like it because it's not all a bunch of pills that you have to swallow.
Exactly.
Like before I go to bed, I go in and take about a half a dropper to a full dropper of that CBD oil for sleep. And I go in there and sleep like a baby. It's just really cool. But I don't wake up and cry every 2 hours.
Yeah, it doesn't get better than that, Vauna. Thank you so much for those suggestions, those ideas, and for your email address so people can contact you to follow up.
Yeah, that'd be great. And have them go to that website and take the CEPH exam. It's interesting.
Yes, I'll put that in the notes, Vauna, so everybody will know exactly what the address is and can do that for themselves, okay?
Okay.
Sounds great. And you have a wonderful trip to Houston and to California as well.
And I'll think of some other place to go.
Yes, I'm sure you will. But not New Zealand or Australia or somewhere else.
I also, 2 weeks ago, did a family reunion. My husband and I hosted a family reunion. There were 25 relatives here at my house. They didn't all stay here.
Oh.
And I have, over the past couple of years, I have transcribed my father and mother's 95-year-old love letters when they were young children. They're dead and gone.
Oh, my goodness. That would have been so fun to see those.
They loved it. We had went through a lot of boxes of Kleenexes from crying and laughing. So it was really fun.
What a wonderful thing to do and to celebrate your heritage and your ancestors.
And that took energy to do. My son from San Francisco called up and said, Mom, are you still alive after all this? I said, yeah, I'm fine.
And you're better than fine, given that experience would have been very healing for not just you, but the whole family.
Yeah, for sure. But thank you for having this call, and I will ring off now after that.
Sounds great, Vauna. Thank you so much for being here in our support group for September 2018. And now we've got Park Forest, Illinois, Oakwood Center. Hello.
Hi, this is Lynn Lidbury.
Hi there, Lynn. How are you? I wasn't sure it was you. So what's up?
Oakwood Center is my business, so.
Oh, right, of course.
So, one thing that I found interesting, I've been going to physical therapy and listening to people talk about stretching, and you've got to be careful not to. I used to teach yin yoga, a form of Phoenix Rising yoga therapy, and I had to stop it because it was stretching the muscles too much, and you don't want to do that. You have to be careful on how you stretch it because it just causes them to tighten up. So just be careful with what you're doing with that, with the yoga. And I'm really happy because people have been telling me I look 2 years better than I looked 2 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, and the people, one got mad yesterday. I don't usually go to church, but I went to a church. He said I've never looked better or happier. So one thing that I think really makes a difference is looking at your both emotional and spiritual issues. And I've been studying a lot of Eckhart Tolle. He's a very famous spiritual leader.
Yeah.
And he teaches you how to watch your thoughts so you don't buy into all the negativity and the fear, and then to connect with a deeper place within you. Some people call it God or oneness or presence, whatever you want to call it. And I think that's, if I wouldn't have made it through everything I've been through if it wasn't for that. And I don't have the typical Parkinson's. I can't sit down or lay down without being in pain. The bicycle makes me worse. For the first time today in physical therapy, I was able to do the bicycle for 5 minutes, and it was a sit-up, the trim, the recumbent. So everybody's different. Everybody's individual, so you have to find what works for you, I think. And I got those vitamins, and I have a feeling they're helping. So the Bill's vitamins, I got those.
Oh, the Bill McAnally.
Or the brain and
yeah,
I'm losing a little breath right now for some reason, but that's okay. For the brain and body, for the hip and joint, and for the brain, and then the core supplement and the aloe supplement.
And you're already feeling like it's helping because you probably just started, didn't you?
Yeah, I do. I feel like there's something different. I can't even quite put my finger on what it is, but it's, you know, it probably is not just the vitamins. It's probably, I am a, as you know, but other people don't know, I have a checklist I use every day to make sure I do everything I need to do, and I'm very motivated to make these changes, and I look at it and exercise, what I eat. I make all my foods from the raw scratch material. Exercise, spirituality, emotion stuff, something called the family constellation. Oh, you know about that.
Yes, of course.
And extremely helpful. So that's what I have to say.
Well, what a wonderful report, Lynn. And we have so many people then today who've checked in and have such encouraging reports of progress that they've made. So it's time for everybody to pat themselves on the back with a hearty congratulations, as is what you need to do as well. You're doing wonderful work, Lynn.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's still hard. I'm still struggling. I'm not anywhere near healed, but it's happening. So that's, like someone else said, it's going to take a while. It's, you know, it took your body a long time to get here, so it's going to take a little while to get out of it.
Right. And I will give my body all the support it needs and whatever time it takes.
Right.
Thank you, Lynn, for being here today at our September support group meeting. It's wonderful to connect with each of you. So I've now connected with each of the folks who've called in and had these wonderful, marvelous, encouraging reports and suggestions for all of us. I want to be sure and look and answer one of the questions that was added to the chat room from Vonna, and that is, what time is Chris Hagesath's radio show interview to be? And we have it tentatively scheduled for this Thursday, this week, Thursday at 12 noon Pacific time. I do not have the show page information from Dr. Hagesath yet. But that's the penciled-in time. So look for that to be aired this week, Thursday, 12 noon Pacific time. And then here's also from Vonna, is the checklist Lynn recommended available? So that's just Lynn's daily checklist that she uses of things that she wants to be sure that she uses. So, Lynn, you have Vonna's email. If you would like to email Vonna your checklist, I'm sure she would greatly appreciate it. She said her actual email address is Vonna1, V-A-U-N-A, the number one, at AOL.com. Lynn, if you're interested or willing to send that to Vonna, it sounds like she would love to be able to receive it. I'm going to look at the questions and answers page to see if anything is up on that. It looks like not. So it appears as though we've presented the discoveries from Parkinson's recovery from this past month. We've had an incredible discussion with those of you who've called in of suggestions and ideas of what's helping you. And so for those of you who are listening to this particular program, I am quite confident that you have heard some suggestions or ideas that you can grab hold of, seize the opportunity, and join with them as they are clearly experiencing some significant relief from whatever symptoms they might currently be experiencing. And that's what's happening here on the shores of the Puget Sound, where all the women are smart, all of the men, of course, are handsome, and all of the children are truly loved. Know that by virtue of the fact that you are a Parkinson's recovery member and you are connecting in here to our support group gatherings each and every month, that you are on the road to recovery. Remember, the replay will be posted on your support group member page, as are all the replays of all of the support group gatherings that we have convened over the last several years. Thank you so much for being here and a part of Parkinson's recovery and supporting our mission to be able to provide all of the support and help that people need in order to be able to see a sustained relief from whatever symptoms of Parkinson's disease they currently are experiencing.